Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday, and then you can talk about the broadcast, talk about the things that were shared, and have fellowship around the Word of God. So I want to again thank all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388 San Diego, California 92195. And I'll try to share that at the end of the broadcast again. And I'll share how you can go to our website and order some books I have available there. My new book, One New Man, One Holy Nation, has just come out. It's on Amazon and available to those who would like to read that. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we come and humble ourselves before your mighty hand. We thank you, Father, for your grace that you supply us in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. And so we just pray blessing and favor on our study of the Word. Lord, help your servant to be able to clearly articulate the thoughts that you have put in my heart. And Lord, help the listening audience to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying these days and be able to make the right application in their personal life. In Jesus' name, we are grateful and thankful. Amen. Okay, well, we've been looking at the Beatitudes and in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look at the earth belongs to the Lord and to his people. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Gentleness demands humility. The arrogant do not practice gentleness or meekness. One evidence of a spirit-filled life is the fruit of gentleness, Galatians 5:22. There are many who try to move ahead in life with an arrogant attitude, and usually this person is filled with selfishness, only thinking about their own success, no matter how it might affect others. This character flaw is especially seen in the business world, the entertainment industry, and the political arena, and even in the church at times. A drive for power and control is behind arrogance and selfishness. It can be observed that most of these people end up losing in life. Many times their dreams are dashed by heartbreak and loss. The scriptures teach, and many lives demonstrate, that gentleness is a way to success. Jesus is teaching a key to life success in Matthew 5:5. Humility, which demonstrates gentleness, will help bring success. Through gentleness, the Holy Spirit touches the hearts of people and opens opportunities. Individuals are moved to reach out and help gentle people, the gentle person. Opportunities come, doors open, and a way is made for the gentle and humble person to be received as their reputation begins to be spread. Some people are gentle by nature. This is a human quality, which is rare and honorable. As Jesus brings into focus his kingdom, he is anticipating those that would be filled with the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in all their relationships. Paul said, "All things are ours. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you," 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things belong to the child of God, but we must see this corporately as an individual, I cannot claim all things at all times, but the Lord blesses the body throughout the earth. Remember Paul's teaching when he said, there are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians 12:20. As members of the body of Christ, we enter into his promised inheritance through humility and gentleness, not arrogance or pride. Ask the Holy Spirit to increase growth in you regarding gentleness. Ask him to show you what he has set aside in the earth as your inheritance. Father, I thank you that your promise is that the gentle shall inherit the earth. Lord, we thank you for that promise, and may gentleness be in us, O God, as we move through life. May people experience the gentle heart of our Father in our lives as we relate with people at work or in our neighborhood, our family, wherever it might be, that people might touch the Father in us as gentleness takes grip in our lives. And so we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Also, hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. As humans, we find ourselves in an impossible situation from a natural perspective. We are slaves to sin. The righteousness of the law of God continually declares us to be guilty. The scribes and the Pharisees perverted the law and brought the people under religious bondage by human means. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses theirs, you will not enter the kingdom. Wow, that's a strong word from our Lord. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:20. Even the keeping of their strict application of the law fell short of the requirements of God. This is a void in every human, a void of the righteousness of God. This void can only be filled by the righteousness of Christ. There is none righteous, no, not even one, Romans 3:10 tells us. People deal with the condition in this condition in different ways. Some pervert the need to fill the void by feeding the unrighteousness with increasingly unrighteous acts. Others try to satisfy their need through religion, trying to get to God on their terms. The scripture says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, we are taught how to satisfy this hunger and thirst. We learn that Jesus is the way in John 14:6. He's the way, the truth, and the life, the scripture tells us. Each person who has received the Lord by giving their life to him knows firsthand that he alone satisfies the longing for the void to be filled. Excuse me. We must continually draw on the righteousness of Jesus Christ to know and experience the true satisfaction he alone can bring. It is not by our performance that we find satisfaction, but through relationship alone, a relationship rooted in Christ Jesus, fulfilling the entire requirement of the Father, a relationship filled with acceptance of our Heavenly Father. The true satisfaction comes from knowing that God loves me, and in his love, I am fully accepted. And so we can pray, Father, I ask for a deepening hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Release the Holy Spirit to draw me closer to Jesus. I join in the writer of Hebrews' prayer that we may fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we are so grateful. And next, let's look at be merciful, even as you have received mercy, Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Sir Isaac Newton first presented his three laws of motion in 1686. His third law states that for every action force in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, if objects are exert a force on an object B, if object A exerts a force on object B, then object B also exerts an equal and opposite force on object A. Newton was given revelation by God, relating to a law of physics. But we have been given revelation by God in the spiritual realm. He was also a spiritual man, by the way. God led him to Christ. He became a believer, Isaac Newton, that is. When you are merciful, it sets up a spiritual law of receiving mercy. This is true about the Beatitudes. God's life exerts a spiritual force of mercy upon us. Then we, in turn, exert a spiritual force upon others by showing mercy. They, in turn, become open to receiving mercy from God and give mercy back. In the law of the Spirit, the Scripture says, "Give, and it shall be given to you," Luke 6:38. "Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall my Father give to you." One of the evidences of the new birth is their desire to give to in an individual is their desire to give to others. Let us consider a few biblical statements that bear witness to this truth. Consider what the psalmist said: "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting," Psalm 126:5. Brokenness over others and their condition carries the promise that God will honor your brokenness each day, with a day when watering from your tears will give a crop of salvation that will produce in you a joy that cannot be contained. Again, consider what Paul said: "If you sowed spiritual things in you, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you?" 1 Corinthians 9:11. This is a principle or law in the New Testament. When God sends those who carry spiritual things that are imparted to our lives, we in turn should respond in supporting that person through financial gifts. The spiritual person gives from his heart. He does it freely. A right response in mercy is to give what we have to help others who cannot repay us. Mercy is manifested in a variety of ways. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you increased avenues to give mercy. You can be confident that there will be numerous occasions when you will also receive mercy from God and others. It's the fruit in the heart that will see God. It's the pure in heart that will see God. Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What a wonderful promise that is. The pure in heart. Amen. When the Scripture speaks of purity of heart, it is addressing motivations. The subject of the heart is a large topic in God's Word. Here are some samplings. "God searches the heart," Jeremiah 17:10. "Unbelief comes from the hardened heart," Mark 8:17. "Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts," Luke 9:47. "The heart is where one's treasure is," Luke 12:34. "The heart is where secrets are kept," 1 Corinthians 14:25. Paul prayed for the eyes of their heart to be enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope of his calling, Ephesians 1:18. Consider Paul's admonition in Colossians 3:12 and 13. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, Put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has complaint against another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you forgive. The pure in heart have received forgiveness, and forgiven all those who have sinned against them. The heart is what I call the seedbed of our emotions. It is the deepest area in a person's being. Some connect the heart to the human spirit. The pure in heart are those who have opened to God every secret they hold. The pure in heart have repented of unbelief. Although they do not understand everything yet, they trust completely in God. And the pure in heart are becoming a treasure house of goodness, of godliness. This new heart of purity must be received. Paul said to put on the heart of compassion and the heart of kindness and the heart of humility and the heart of gentleness and the heart of patience in Colossians 3:12. These qualities are not fruits of a good idea, but of a pure heart. Today, why not join in Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know the hope of his calling. It is in that seeking of God's will and purpose that our hearts are changed and purity begins to form. Ask the Holy Spirit for a pure heart. Allow him to identify areas in your heart in need of his cleansing power. We all have them. There's areas that the Lord wants to show each one of us where we hide something, we store something that's not of God, and he wants to reveal our hearts to us so that we might have a pure heart. And let's move on to Matthew 5:9. We're called to lead the procession of peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Do you have that resounding in your heart, a son of God? Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:34. This statement seems to be in direct contrast to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been discussing. Is he contradicting himself? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. At his birth, the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill to men, Luke 2:14. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus is describing the separation of those who belong to his Father from those belonging to the world's systems. Many families and nations have divided over Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus made it possible to have peace inside oneself, with one's neighbors, and even among the nations. The hardness of man's heart keeps peace from being a reality. Many today pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not understanding the answer to the prayer was a person and not a city. The Prince of Peace entered the city, but they received him not. They crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus reconciled us to God through his sacrificial death on the cross. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the scripture says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. He made peace possible for all those who would come, would believe on him. This has enraged the world systems against those who are the sons of God. We are peace carriers as Jesus was, but many reject the peace we carry, and in doing so reject becoming a son of God. Peace is in the Father's DNA. That same peace is in every true son and daughter of God. Those who will not harden their hearts can become peacemakers. But these things are in us, but we have to pray and stir them up and understand that God caused us to be born again so these things might be manifested in our lives. But many times it's not just automatic. We give ourselves to God because he values the relationship, and so we pray for the Lord to help us stir these things up. Amen. Those who will not harden their hearts can become peacemakers. To those whose hearts are hardened in unbelief, Christ's peacemakers will be a problem. There is what the sons of God, this is what the sons of God do. On one hand, they offer peace. On the other hand, they cause division because of the hearts of sinful man. There have been many times when the Lord sent me to stir the pot. In doing so, I found out who really wanted the peace of God. Ask our Father to make a peacemaker out of you, while realizing there will be some that will reject you as a son of God or a daughter of God. Ask the Holy Spirit for his strength to help you to be faithful in your role as a peacemaker. The world still rejects the peace, the Prince of Peace, but those who receive him have peace beyond comprehension. Amen. That's God's will for us. And now next we look at Matthew 5:10, persecution for righteousness' sake. And that's kind of what we were just talking about. Those that don't want peace, don't have peace, might reject us because of the righteousness in us. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Most in the Western world do not have an appreciation for Jesus' statement. We might receive some rejection from folks, for the most part. Christianity has been accepted. This is not at all true in many places in the world. A Jewish convert may be rejected by their own family. In the Islamic world, a price can be put on one's head for coming to Christ. A family member would be honored for killing the Christian convert. In places like Pakistan, the Christian is paid the lowest wages and has a difficult time getting ahead. In China, many are in prison for not being part of the so-called state-run church. When the church in the West begins to stand up against unrighteousness, it will draw persecution. Today, many have suffered financially, even gone to jail for trying to protect the life of an innocent baby in the womb. In our government, there are those who want to silence those who are crying out against injustice in today's society. The scripture commands us to obey the laws of the land. There are those who are calling on the government to enforce laws that were intended to protect us. Many are persecuted for their righteous positions by a government that is sworn to uphold the law and provide protection for each member of society. Today in America, preachers have to make a choice between easy street and persecution for righteousness' sake. The true believer must be willing to be persecuted, but one must be sure it is for righteousness and not one's individual morality. It must be a righteousness that comes from God, rooted in Jesus Christ, and clearly supported by the Word of God. Ask the Lord to make clear what he considers righteous. Surrender to his will for your life and ask him for strength to endure hardship for righteousness' sake. Then enter into your Lord's kingdom reign by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. What a tremendous encouragement Jesus gives us there. Well, thank you for joining us today. Our time is up once again. And in closing, let me just mention, I have a number of books on our website. If you go to www.sdccm.org/shop, The order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, thank you again, and remember, walk with the King.